Today, we'll read once more Ephesians chapter 5. Then next week, we'll be reading Ephesians 6. And then we'll continue on in our reading of the scripture with Philippians. So bear with me for the next 2 weeks. And after all, the grace of God is everything. We'll never exhaust that wondrous love of the Lord in His grace. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is fitting among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor silly talk, nor levity, which are not fitting, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no immoral or impure man, or one who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 1:1-2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are also faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the midst of our consideration of the active grace of God that is mentioned in this opening blessing of the Apostle Paul upon the church. We are seeing that grace is the loving attribute of God that is lavished upon us, individually and corporately, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is showered upon the church in many, countless ways. I would like to share a portion of a letter that I recently received from Ken Hartman. I was very blessed with what was opened up in him with regard to grace, and pray that it would bless each one of us. Ken writes, "I have never viewed God's expression of grace from such an all-encompassing perspective, starting with Jesus as the ultimate manifestation of God's grace, and moving through to the common day-to-day occurrences in our lives. Grace is at the foundation of everything. How wonderful! Grace spans our entire existence in Christ, from the ability to submit and desire to commit to Christ, to our quietness and confidence in Christ. My humility, my strength in Christ, my freedom in Christ, all are rooted in God's grace. From our original surrender to our eventual service within the body of Christ, it is all about God's grace. Christ's love to all, Ken." What a joy unto the Lord to recognize some of the reality that is established in His grace. It is the grace of God that opens up the inside of our beings into the very heart of God. It is the grace of God that meets our every need. It is in the grace of God that we find the peace and deep joy in the knowledge of the sovereignty of God, which carries us through the most violent, turbulent storms of our sojourn in this world. It is the grace of God that establishes the Holy Spirit's guidance as the very wisdom of God to face every situation. More and more as we pray, we ask for God's wisdom in how to deal with everything that comes into our lives. And it's here that we pick up once more, looking at the grace of God in His wisdom, as He works so benevolently in our lives. As you will recall, we are tracing that wisdom of God through many scriptures, seeking after the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in our lives with more and more clarity. We are seeking the wisdom of God as declared throughout Scripture, to become the source of all our thoughts, our hopes, our lives. We had ended with a number of truths, comparing God's wisdom to the foolishness of man's supposed wisdom, as shared by the prophet Isaiah. Now let us consider the insight of God as given through the prophet Jeremiah, concerning the value of God's wisdom set against the futility of man's wisdom. Jeremiah 8:9. "The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" Much like Isaiah, in fact, as is true in all of Scripture, man's wisdom is seen for what it is, nothing. Note that Jeremiah saw that the wise men will be put to shame. They will be mortified at the foolishness that they have perpetrated on the people of this age. They will suffer the humiliation of eternity for having put forth the futility of self and calling it wisdom. What man or woman, subscribing to this world's doctrines and philosophies, will be able to stand in the presence of God at that day and successfully argue their case before the Holy One? He is the righteous one, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one, and he knows every thought and intent. Not a single person using this age's wisdom will gain anything from it, except the eternal consciousness that they were deceived by this world and deceived others through their utter lack of wisdom. Paul in Romans 1:19 through 25 defines the lack of true knowledge and wisdom of man apart from God. There are no excuses in the lies of the ignorance and foolishness of man's arguments against God. As we read, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Thank the Lord that He has called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. We no longer worship the creation in all its futility. We worship the Creator of all things, our Lord God Almighty. We rely on Him. We trust in Him. We rejoice in Him. We exalt Him. It is by His wisdom that we are here on this earth at this time, joined together, the body of Christ. It is in the wisdom of God's grace that our lives shine forth as a beacon of light unto all those around us. They have no excuse for their refusal to worship God. We are the living proof of that. Our lives as lived forth from the Lord are the constant witness of the goodness and the power and the wisdom of God. That wisdom of God announced this truth way back in the times of Daniel. Daniel 12:3. "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Jeremiah then takes this to the following conclusion, the only conclusion possible in the light of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 9:23-24. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. This is wisdom. To come to know in reality, in truth, in spirit, in life, that the Lord God is holy and sovereign. In His wisdom we know that He has all things, not just some things, not most things, not just the big things, but He has all things under His glorious control. In His wisdom we recognize that He always looks upon us and works in us through His steadfast love. He always works in us and through us to His steadfast love. In His wisdom and grace, we are shown that His delight is in the justice of His holiness, which has been fully satisfied through the giving of His own Son because of that great love with which He loves us. Then, in even more abundance, we live in the utter assurance that the delight of the Lord is steadfastly focused upon us because He sees us in the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is wisdom. That is the express truth of God's bountiful grace as He makes us His church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, His beloved in Jesus Christ. Because the focus of all God's wisdom is centered in His Son, we need to always consider Christ in every aspect of our lives. That reality shows forth the gracious wisdom of God as we deal with everyone on the basis of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Paul addresses the very aspect that Jeremiah declared as to unto whom the glory of man is focused. In the folly of humanity's depravity, all the wisdom of man points to himself. He glories in his accomplishments, in his efforts, in His might, in His wisdom. He perches Himself on a throne of self-righteousness in His feeble attempts to make a better world out of the chaos and absolute discord that is the malignant cancer of this age. Rather than being absorbed with all that human foolhardiness and hopelessness, Paul points to Christ as the source and the single focus of all glory. As Paul writes in Galatians 6:14, "But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." It is the grace of God that crucifies us to the world and the world to us. Please note that this goes far, far beyond simply seeking to live a better life. In God's wisdom, He has brought us unto Himself through the death and resurrection of His Son. In His wisdom, He has given forth His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, always pointing us to Christ. In the wisdom of God, He has made His living Word the sustenance of our lives through the effective ministry of His Word, by His Holy Spirit. As we live by the faith of the Son of God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in full obedience to His Word, we will find that we are more and more being crucified to this world. The Holy Spirit is at work to put to death all the attractions and the desires of this age. Those things of this realm are to be left on the crucifixion side of the cross of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, because we think that we're going to miss out in some measure of the pleasures of this age, we try to pull them over into the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. That is utterly impossible, because there is no true pleasure or eternal joy in the things brought forth from wickedness and deception. It is this desire that the Lord puts to death within us. As He works, and works so mightily to prove Himself over and over again, we lose any desire for the things of this world. We see it as dead, as decay, as nothing of value in comparison to that truth of the life of Jesus Christ. We are crucified to the lusts of this realm and all its deceitful attractions. Likewise, our heart's focus is removed from the death of this age and more centered into the life of Jesus Christ in all His resurrection power and glory. It is in that manner that our entire focus of being finds its glory in Him. This is fully established as the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is lifted up above all that is in this realm and honored as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. God's eternal wisdom is manifested in Him alone. By the grace of God, He is the glory of our entire being, individually, corporately, triumphantly, and eternally. Paul takes us even deeper into the grace of the wisdom of God, being absolutely absorbed in the Lord as we deal with one another in the church. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, he writes, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling, and my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The legions of this world's deceived place their limited faith in human knowledge, in philosophy, in discernment, in abilities of reason, in conceptions, in imaginations, and in the false goodness of mankind's intentions. There is an awe of those regarded as the authorities on this subject or in that situation, this problem or that psychological belief. Even within the organized church, There are many, many people who try to reason themselves into this belief or that doctrine. This type of faith is based not on the Lord, but in one's ability to make the Lord fit into a limited human scope of intellectual consideration. We sway back and forth with the latest dogma that is promoted to make our minds accept the teachings through the human reasoning and logic of man's wisdom. We will never find God's wisdom centered in the strength of the arguments of these feeble minds. We will never find the truth of God centered in the persuasiveness of human concepts. The strength of human mental comprehension will never reveal the wisdom of God. Only God can show forth Himself in all His omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Consider how the Lord worked in the Apostle Paul to present the truth of Christ to the Corinthians. First of all, there was that determination that in everything, his considerations were centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was determined in his heart, unwavering in the purpose of seeing all the members of the Corinthian church in the light of Jesus Christ and His crucifixion power. Everything had to go through death to be brought forth in the life of Christ. And that was what the Apostle Paul had as his focus in the dealings with the church. That is how we are to see and to deal with one another. It all has to be in Jesus Christ. That is the wonder of the grace of God's wisdom. We see beyond the visible. We see beyond the earthly residue. We see beyond the current state of affairs unto Jesus Christ living in each one of us. We need to determine to be absolutely resolute in that manner of dealing with and in approaching each other in the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. Then the apostle presented the gospel of Christ in weakness and in much fear and trembling. Stop, one might shout. Our Lord is to be declared in all the power of His resurrection and glory with all our might and force of being. However, consider the fact that the Apostle Paul had been a very skilled debater of the law with his Pharisee brethren. He was skilled with language and with the ability to convince another based on human logic, reasoning, and semantic skills. But when he presented Christ to the Corinthians, when he addressed their issues and needs, he wanted it to be everything of Jesus Christ and nothing of himself. He knew that for the full life of Christ to be proclaimed in all his resurrection power, it had to be God's divine power and wisdom that brought these loved ones close to the heart of God. Paul wanted a deep, a full relationship to grow in the hearts of the Corinthians. So he determined not to be the orator, simply the mouth through which God could speak forth his life in the power of the Holy Spirit into these seeking souls. The same needs to be true of everyone who proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. The words we speak, the thoughts we carry, the talent we have are all unto the Lord for His purposes. We do not want our witness to be anything other than the Word of God, His feeding of His flock. There is nothing in any of us that can be more effective in bringing glory to God in one another than speaking forth only that which He has established as life. If we proclaim anything other than the life of Jesus Christ, we are nothing more than clanging cymbals filling the air with noise. It is in our weakness and fear and trembling before the Lord, meaning awe and reverence for Him and everything of Him, that the power of God comes forth in life. Nothing of us, all of Him. Then notice that Paul sets aside the wisdom of mankind, because the wisdom of man is not capable of presenting the things of God in a manner that will bring forth the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ. The words and thoughts of man are insufficient to describe the totality of a life unto God, founded in Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, and living in complete obedience to His Word. Paul rather sought after God to establish himself in his gospel. Paul calls forth the reality that faith is not established in the wisdom of man. It is established in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God makes Himself known in His power by the Holy Spirit, as He proves over and over again His trustworthiness, His love, His wisdom, His life. We live by the power of God, not by the arguments of human knowledge. After all, man can argue this or that philosophy or wisdom, but that amounts to only hollow words that falls on the ears of the deaf. What God declares, God in His omnipotence does. What God declares will be in place. What He does is always perfect and true and full of the glory of God's wisdom. It is done. And it is always done in the perfection of God's timing. No delays, no holdups, no contractual differences. He will have His church, and in His wisdom, He has created it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, what grace of God to call forth such as we unto Himself. Oh, the wisdom of God seen in His church as His beloved. As the church is revealed in all the purity of being, that which is the heart of God, it will be recognized as the utmost creation of love in the grace and wisdom of God through His Son. It will be seen as His greatest creation in Jesus Christ. Let us praise and honor Him forever and forever for our Lord Jesus Christ. We conclude with the manifold wisdom of God as expressed in Hosea 14:9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are also faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.